From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Mbele. It's always a privilege and an honor to be sharing this space with you as we interrogate and engage pressing issues of our time through the lived experiences of our guests. In tonight's conversation, we're putting a spotlight on men's health, particularly conditions as prostate cancer, which remains one of the most commonly diagnosed cancers amongst men globally, affecting roughly one in eight in their lifetime. While the cancer is highly treatable when detected early, with a survival rate of about 90%, the challenge is that in many cases, we only diagnose at the late stage. When treatment becomes more complex and becomes less favorable, it is quite important, therefore, that we look at this matter as we diagnose it as quick as possible. This, in my view, when you look at the broader pattern as part of the men's health behavior, men are constantly likely to seek prevention or preventative health care early, and the delaying in consultation exacerbated the symptoms in the later stage. The consequence that when we're not able to treat or diagnose the problem a lot earlier, it is likely to create a lot of challenges, particularly suicide. We've noted that in most instances, suicide gets a lot higher when men are confronted with the ailment. In tonight's conversation, we all know that this disease affects men across all ages, across all different stages. Therefore, it is important that we are able to diagnose it a lot earlier and so that we're able to support other men that are going through similar issues. In making sense of this very important issue, I'm joined by Jonathan Mutige, who's a prominent South African and seasoned executive whose work spans leadership, investment, and social capital building. He's a co-founder of Factor of 10, alongside his wife, Nabisa Mutige, who served as a CEO. So I'm quite looking forward to get a gist of this very important issue from the family perspective. It can't get better than that, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm looking forward to that. So Jonathan is here to talk about how his decision to launch Factor of 10 Foundation, dedicated to educating men, encouraging testing, and driving early detection and action of men's health. Nabisa will weigh in by reflecting this in the context of or perspective of the family as he works in the foundation as well. Meanwhile, I urge you to weigh in our conversation as a norm. Your thoughts, your views are most welcome via our social handles. The WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. Before we delve into the gist of our conversation, I want to take this opportunity to thank the producers of the show and, of course, Craig here, who's a controller, for navigating the show to the heights that we're all anticipating. And while at it, let me just also encourage you once again to air, to reflect or air your views via our social handle. And, of course, once again, the SM line, it's 061-895-1019. And I'm happy to take your question, thoughts, views. And my guests here will be more than delighted, to respond to any issue that you might have. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome both my guests, Jonathan Mutige. Good evening, and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Good evening, Nimrod. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Nabisa. Yeah. Thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Us.
Thank you for having us. We're very delighted to be here.
And for all of us, I've never hosted a family in any show. So I'm quite delighted. I'm looking forward to have, very interesting, thought-provoking conversation that will shed light to many men that are confronted by this. Before, perhaps maybe when we start, I just want to frame or perhaps maybe reflect our conversation by using this quote that I just came across. A useful reflection in this conversation is that silence does not protect men. It often delays the truth and deepens the harm. Your reflection on that particular quote, Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very aligned with a quote that I use a lot. I talk a lot about the importance of silencing the silent killer. Because unless we deal with the silence, we will never get to the bottom of this. And it's a difference between making a lot of noise and deliberately going after getting the silence out of the way and getting people to really listen to this message.
Yeah. On that note, who's Jonathan Mutige?
That's a big question. I'm not too sure how far you need to go. So I'm.
Other than the fact that you've got your wonderful wife here,
yeah,
in studio.
Yeah. So I'm an executive in one of the top firms in South Africa in employee benefits. I actually work with Alexander Forbes or Alex Forbes. That's where I am. Had a typical upbringing, in the rural areas of Venda, went to university, and that's where I met my wife, actually, 33 years ago. We met at university, and that's how long we've been married. But before you say, well, did you marry on the first day? We did date for 3 years before we took the big decision. That in a nutshell is, a bit of my story.
Absolutely. I think that's quite wonderful. Nobisa, you want to just weigh in very quickly by ways, who's Nobisa other than the fact that you married to?
I'm married to Jonathan, yes, yeah. So I come from KZN, came from a family of five. My parents, my father was actually in the church as a pastor. My mom in the medical field as a nurse. So in terms of, just being aware of health issues and so forth, as we grew up, we're very much in that space and needed to be conscious about, what we do and how we do things. As Jonathan says, that we met at Natal University in 1990.
It's been so long.
It just exposes my age. Yes.
1990.
So it's been a journey, that we have worked together. Going from being young and, to the stage where we are at now and, confronting different challenges, including this one, with cancer, which we did decide that, we will throw everything into it.
Totally throw into it. I want to bring in, Jonathan here because, because one would want to know what would have been or what has been the defining moment that led you to establish the Factor of 10 as an entity which is responding to the kind of issues, the challenges that Nobisa, your wife, is making reference to.
Yeah, and the journey defines why we've had to do this. My own father, we lost him to prostate cancer. Mm. When it was discovered for him, it was already at stage 4. He didn't have long to fight the fight, and we lost him. But at the time when, we lost him, I had already started, my annual checks, and I was doing these annual checks, every time. And my last one was in 2019. So I did it, and the doctors then said, well, it's 5.8. It's a bit elevated, but let's check next year and see if it's continuing to rise, then we need to do a bit more. And then COVID came about, and for 3 years didn't test. But because I was in the habit of testing and that conversation, I thought, no, it's okay, until 2023 when I tested.
And then the reading was 24.5. And those listening who are in the medical field will probably understand the magnitude of that test. And that sent us on a spiral. The reason why I'm going through this is when that happened, my very first reaction was, I can't follow my father, not with the knowledge that I have. So what did I miss? And the only small thing that I missed at the time was that I didn't even know that this thing has got different grades. When my father was going through it, there was no discussion about what grade it was. We just knew he has the prostate cancer, and then we went into dealing with it, right? Mm. So if I had known that it's got different grades, I might have asked different questions when I was told it was 5.8. It was picked up at stage 3. So that's the first part, doctor, that forms part of why we're doing this. The second part of it is when we were going through it, the thing that carried me was the fact that my wife was by my side every step of the way. My kids were by my side. My family rallied. My friends were there. Mm-hmm. I knew one or two guys who had gone through this that I could call. We had doctor friends that we could call and say, we don't understand. And they provided that support. And that was very useful. But the third thing, which is more important, is throughout that process, nobody said, how are you holding out mentally? Are you strong enough to go through this? No one said, hey, is your family holding out? What happens? So a combination of those three things has led us to form the foundation. One, to work tirelessly to bring awareness and trigger a new conversation that brings the families into the conversation, take it away from just being a men's conversation. That's one. Number two is to think about how do we make this information easily accessible? There is so much available, so much that you get overwhelmed or you pick up a little bit. So what is the consistent piece of information that men should have? And even those who know, what are the knowledge gaps that we think exist to tackle this? And the third one is providing the support.
So these are very critical points. Perhaps maybe they just look at, let's take a break. When you come back, we're going to go back to some of the very very important points that you have mentioned, of course, of which I think listeners might have a view or take on it. Mm. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. If you have just joined us, I'm having a fascinating conversation with my guest here, Jonathan Mutige, who is a prominent South African and a seasoned executive whose work spans leadership, investment, and social capital building. He's joined by his wife, Nobisa, who is a COO of the foundation that we're going to unpack in just a minute. And for those that have just joined us, the thrust of our conversation is around prostate cancer, of which we're getting an insight from a champion, I would imagine, someone has gone through it, who is here to share his views and enlighten the community on what are the issues. And before we took that break, he gave us a very good sense of how he got to know about it. I mean, he lost his father to the disease, and I'm sure every single one of us network of friends, family, we know somebody who either had it, who survived it, or who's still going through it. So this is a very important platform because we are getting a perspective from someone who has gone through it, mm-hmm. and who by God's grace lives to tell the tale, so that those that aren't aware are able to navigate this painful process, at least being enlightened. I welcome your thoughts, your views on these very important issues. I'm sure Jonathan is more than happy, as well as his wife here, happy to take your thoughts, your views. Our SMS line is 0618951095. As we proceed, one of the issues that you raise is that you first and foremost, you raise issues around, of course, your father, and you got this thing at stage 3, And first and foremost, you had a very good support structure. But support structure in this context, I'm referring to your wife, I'm referring to your friends, who some of them had medical background. Mm. And what was key for me is, you know, nobody asked a question, how does this affect you mentally, you know? And I think this is a very silent thing that most, and again, I want to attribute this to the earlier point I made during the intro, that you know, there's a whole lot of suicide cases, largely because nobody stopped and paused and asked the victim, you know, that how are you dealing with? Because I want to build that part and link it with a factor of 10, which is the foundation earmark to address a host of issues, including the mental health. So take us through behind, you know, the thought behind the factor of 10 as an institution.
Yeah, so the idea behind the factor of 10 is to encourage people to do to take little steps. And it's really based on the principle of pledging a tenth. You know, so if you could just give a tenth, we're not asking for everything, just give a tenth of your time, give a little bit, you know, to this cause and see if it does not have a multiplier, you know, impact. And that for us is very important. So it's you know, Dr. Nimrod, it's actually as simple as, you know, if I could just in a week reach out to 5 men, don't even go to 10, but if I could reach 10 men and just say, my brother, have you ever had this checked? If that individual goes and checks, you change the trajectory of families. And so if we encourage people, we're not asking for miraculous activities. And that's why in Factor of 10, we talk about small acts with tenfold impact. And when we're building this organization, you know, building something like this can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. Our view is we want to appeal to our nation, appeal to everybody to say, don't even worry about doing too much. Just do a little. So if we needed to go and, you know, set up a conversation in a community hall, if you live in that hall, your tenth is just get us the space. That's your tenth. You know, so I don't have to employ 20 people to be booking halls. Just make that available. Just do the little you can. And then we will create a ripple effect. Mm. And going back to the silence issue, Doctor, because for us that's so important. If we can just increase the number of voices of people saying, hey, this thing is going to kill a lot more people than we realize. You talked about the 90% survival rate. That's actually more in the corporate and formal organized places. Outside of that, you're talking about 28% or less. You know, so for us, it's just, let's just get more people talking, and especially if we could just get our kids, and I'm, you know, for us it's a family issue. Why? Because if my son had known this earlier and he had come to me and said, Daddy, do you know about this? Have you got tested? If my daughter had done that, you'd start to break the silence. So that it's no longer just a man's lonely journey and a silent conversation amongst a few men. And so that's where our mission is. It's just encouraging people, do your little bit, partner with us, partner with any other organization doing this, because we think we need more organizations to do this. But just do a little bit.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I think that's so important. I want to bring in Nomisa here around the family. You know, based on what you've gone through with Jonathan, especially on the mental health, what is it that you know, family needs to be more aware of first and foremost, so that they're able to become a better support. Mm. Because it's through family, in my view, you could have a ripple of support. Because if the family is united, understand first and foremost, what are they dealing with?
Yeah.
Okay. And families are the best advocate of what they're dealing with.
Mm.
By the time it moves from the family to friends, and moves to extended family and so on and so forth, already there's that foundation that has been built. How important is it for you, and based on what you have gone through in helping your husband navigate mental health?
Mm. Yeah, a very important question that Dr. Nimrod. Firstly, I must just say that, you know, getting this news is very scary. really. You feel very helpless initially, but somehow you know that you need to get up from that and do something. So firstly, you have your husband who is the actual person that is going to go through this. So you realize that you have to be that support structure. And you do that by finding out, you get information that you can. We spend a lot of time learning about the disease, learning together, sharing information, listening to our doctor. We were very fortunate in that we had a good support structure. So besides our urologist, there were other doctors that we knew of, and we could just talk to them as well to find out, okay, this report came out, what does this mean? This is what our doctor is saying. These are the options. What does all of this mean? So equip yourself with a lot of knowledge and information. Then you can make informed decisions. But you just need to talk about everything. You talk about what does each decision mean? What the ripple effects of that decision, and how are you going to go forward with that? Some things you don't know, so you're just going to take it one step at a time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the point that you've raised that is so important is having, first and foremost, understanding, because it's a very traumatic experience as a family,
yes,
going through that. And what is important that we don't have to take for granted is that, your reference point is that of privilege.
Yeah.
Let me qualify privilege. Mm. You obviously a middle class family. That's number one. Number two, you've got access to very good support structure.
Yes.
You have a urologist. Mm. You got a psychologist. So it's easier for you to process these issues based on the privilege side.
Yeah.
And imagine when you flip the coin and look at communities, individuals, especially in Black community where we don't have,
yeah,
or the way don't have much privilege and access.
Mm.
So this is where the factor of 10 comes in.
Correct.
Yes.
Because that's a big gap,
A huge
and if
one.
If yeah. you can struggle as an upper middle class family, let alone the lower echelons of society.
Yes.
Take us through that, because I think this is where the gap is, and this is where the factor of 10 amongst host of other entities that are fighting or perhaps maybe trying to find solution towards this. Take us through factor of 10, and based on that, you said it has few pillars. One of the pillars is encouraging testing, and the other pillar is about getting support, and the other one is about advocacy. Take us through each of these pillars and say, how else can we help elevate the voices factor of 10, and who else can you bring along? Because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a whole lot of other people.
Yeah.
HFM is here to help.
Yes.
Whatever opportunities that are there to elevate the voice, to strengthen, especially to the poor and the vulnerable. Take us through that, please.
The first pillar actually is about opening the conversations and making them a family conversation. We think that's very important. I think we need to structure and trigger very new conversations that are bold, and make sure that our kids, wives, girlfriends, whatever you call, that they know enough to close the loop around men, because the loop is just too disconnected. So if we could close the loop and get the families to start having a new conversation, I think it's going to go a long way. And so we do want to spend a bit more time on getting that. But then the second one is, well, if you are sitting in the most remote part of South Africa and you get this news, where do you get tested? And worse, if you don't have the resources, if you earn, 500 rand a week, and this thing costs, 240 rand to test in a normal lab, you are unlikely to have to do that. You're unlikely to go and spend. And we really want to appeal to corporates, appeal to South Africa to say, just give 250 rand or 300 rand to help get somebody tested. If they don't have access to the public hospital where they could get it done for free, that is a game changer, Dr. Nimrod, because the more people know, the better we have a fighting chance of dealing with this as a nation. So that's why that second pillar is very important. On the support side, there's two or three things that we want to do. One is to build a network of men who have gone through this so that, you know, the principle of being a brother's keeper comes in. I went through this with a bit more strength because I had a brother who had gone through it, a brother in a inverted commas, a fellow golfer who I could call and say, listen, today I woke up feeling down. You know, talk to me. So we want to encourage more men to come into a network and join, join us in being able to, you know, make yourself available to talk to other men who are going through this. That men-to-men makes a big difference. But then there's the mental health where we want to tap into organizations that are doing this. And again, we're only asking for a tenth. So if you're a counselor and you just donated a tenth of your time, then we can convert that and help families that are going to need it. So that's why that third pillar is so important. The advocacy, of course, is a big one. What we are worrying about even more is just at a policy level, what conversations need to happen. So if you talk about the statistics of 1 in 8 men as a global statistic, and if you convert that, it's a scary number. If you put on top of that the fact that we are told it affects more black men than any other ethnic group, how do we get to a place where we make this a national emergency to talk about this? For us, that's the one area that we think we ought to make a big change. And finally, we want to connect with as many organizations that are dealing with issues, because it's an ecosystem. These things are all interconnected. And my final comment would be, mostly we get told, when you turn 40, you must start testing. But here's the problem, Dr. Nimrod. If I have a son who is 20, 25, he does not have the habit of checking on his wellness. How do we think at 40 he's going to make this a habit?
It's too late already.
It's too late. So can we get into a conversation about how do we get men to prioritize doing assessments on their health? There's probably a whole number of ailments that are affecting men, and because we're talking about men, that if they were detected earlier, it will give them a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're trying to do with the Factor of 10 is surround the organization with as many doctors. We're talking to people who are in laboratories at the moment to say, give us a picture of the things that people don't see. Mm-hmm. Then let's make these things visible and use it as an anchor point for men to start early. Then by the time they turn 40, it's just adding more layers to this. Then it becomes easy.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm loving this, how you frame your intervention, so to speak, when you look at pillars. I mean, the first pillar being obviously creating safe space, creating conversation in a safe space. Because if a man cannot have safe space to disclose their vulnerabilities with the family, already that man is going nowhere, So it is important, for families to be aware of the mental implications of any ailment, let alone prostate cancer. So, but how do we activate, Nobisa, maybe personally you could share tips to some of the families so that they are aware of how to create an environment that is conducive for that person who finds himself in that particular, and without feeling ashamed, because truth of the matter is that sometimes men, we feel ashamed, if we feel embarrassed about these issues, because you suddenly think you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And even if but how do you create space so that when the person is moody in the house, because he's got so many issues to process and digest, and the next person, the wife, the sister, the cousin, who's not aware, how to create a space? What would you say as somebody in our last chat? You spoke about psychology, very interesting psychology, because you got to deal with your mental aptitude of individuals. Mm. How would you frame that environment where men who are vulnerable feel, okay, I can disclose, I can talk about this. There's no shame, there's no harm.
Yes. Yeah, no, very important, Dr. Nimrod. The thing that we did with Jonathan was, just to be open and honest, you know. So we just like set that stage from the beginning, because for each doctor visit, for example, I was there. I went with him through all of them. So I got the information firsthand with him. I would suggest that that's very, very important, you know, to go together and create that, you know, space of, you know what, trust. That, you know what, whatever is discussed here, okay, we're going to share what we want to share with whoever we want to share it with. And also then just looking at, okay, so what resources are available? You know, what are we going to do about this? You know, when there's a solution to a problem, you somehow feel strengthened, you feel empowered. So it was just looking at those practical things. What is it that we can do? We even actually changed our eating, our lifestyle, you know, because we learned that actually this does do, it has an impact. And it helps even with coping while going through the treatment. I mean, he had to do radiation at some stage. And the after effects of that, you know, so diet is very important. What you eat, you know, as the saying says that, you know, let food be thy medicine. We really got on board with that. So I changed also the way I ate so that it's easier.
She adopted the same diet.
I literally, in fact, I think I did it more than him, to be honest. He faltered from time to time, but
it's called solidarity.
Yeah. You know, so it's just really all those things, and to go with a person every step and all the way. You know, the visits to, you know, for radiation, I was there, you know, the whole time. So that partnership is just very, very important.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dembele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. It's amazing how time flies when you're really having fun. I'm joined in studio by Jonathan Mutibi, as well as his wife. These are these colleagues or esteemed guests, the founders of an entity called the Factor of 10, which we'll talk about a little bit more. Before we took that ad break, Jonathan and Nomisa were talking about the pillars of Factor of 10, which are so important. The key point I took this, the first pillar being, creating a conversation within the family. And it is so important. The second pillar was about testing, and which has obviously cost implication, wherein, you know, Jonathan was appealing to corporate and anybody else who has an opportunity or anything to offer so that we alleviate, stress or cost around testing. The third, pillar that he mentioned is that of getting a wider support, you know, either from people that have gone through it or know someone has gone through it, in adopting a notion of be your brother's keeper, you know. So, and obviously, if the more people join the movement, so to speak, the more we're going to elevate the voices, even those that were feeling reluctant, shy or embarrassed or whatever the case may be, if this movement has been created, which I strongly believe it will be created, because it takes bold steps. And I want to really honor you for being bold, especially in Black community, because there are a lot of taboos around these issues. We don't confront issues for what they are. We'll always find something else, you know. But when you address issues head on, we're already empowering a lot of people to say, wait a second, I know somebody's going through, which means we can save lives, you know. So the other, obviously, the last pillar, which is that of advocacy. And I wasn't aware that prostate cancer affect more Black than any other races. So, which is something that most people didn't know about. I didn't know about it. So now that I know, calls for a wider advocacy on how to diagnose, how to detect, and how to, you know, do all of other things to prevent for this thing from becoming a scourge. Perhaps maybe going back, let's look at the second pillar, which is around testing. There are a lot of cost, and you're appealing to NGOs, corporate, and everybody else. The reason why I want to amplify this message, because You'll be launching a factor of 10 on the 29th of May. Tell us about that. What is in plan? Who has been invited? And if there's anybody who's listening to the show now, if that person is willing to contribute to their 10th, mm-hmm. they could join. And so just take us through the program. Where will it be? Shebang. All of it.
Okay. I should ideally let the CEO deal with this and not, take somebody's role. But we're launching on the 29th, and there's two aspects to this. There's a breakfast launch, which will be at Killarney Golf Club. We'll start with the breakfast at 8:30. And that we have, invited a wide spectrum of people. So in the room, there will be medical doctors who have now already signed up to be at the breakfast. There's CEOs, a few in the room. There's some young people who are coming. There's quite a few organizations that have already said they are, going to be there. There's some, people from Metropolitan who are, there. There's Alex Forbes. There is, some guests coming from Empath. So there's a whole wide range of organizations that are going to be in the room. So it's a wide spectrum. Even in the speakers, we actually have the speakers organized around the key pillars of this. So my urologist who has walked with us this journey, he's going to speak. And he's a big supporter of the foundation. Mm-hmm. He is pledged, to give a lot more of his time and his resources to help, especially for those who can't access this. So that will be covered. We have got somebody who's coming in to talk about this from a health point, a wellness point of view. We have somebody who's coming, to talk about the laboratory side. What is it that is going on behind the scenes that you don't see? And that's quite important. We've got somebody talking on the business, but actually not about the business, but talking about why is this a women's issue. Mm-hmm. So there's a full spectrum of people who are going to talk, and we've carefully, crafted that. So that's what the breakfast is about, and we're going to use that breakfast to launch some initiatives that we are going to go with. But before I go to the initiatives, the second part of the day is a golf. It's a golf day, and there we've got about 14 companies that are sponsoring holes. So the response has been phenomenal. It's fully subscribed. We probably can squeeze in another 10. The team is going to say to me, why did you just say that? we can squeeze another 10. And you might ask, why golf? My father was diagnosed at hole number, we picked up the problem with my father when he hit on hole number 2 at Royal Johannesburg and he dropped the club. He had incredible pain on his elbow. That led us to the discovery. I was on a golf course when I had an excruciating pain on my shoulder, couldn't hit the club. That led to where I am today. But even more important, there is a lot of us who spend a lot of time on the golf courses. And Dr. Nimrod, the thing that has struck me, all of us use caddies who earn very little. And just imagine if we, which is something we're going to launch, a program that's going to target appealing to golfers to give a tenth to improve a caddy's life in this regard. I've had a chat with my own caddy. It's been difficult to explain what prostate is, let alone the cancer. Mm. And so there's something we think should be done to target that 40,000, group of men who tend to be in their 40s to 50s. And that's a catchment. That's a group that's going to be hit as hard. So the stuff that we think can be done through the foundation to target that, there is a campaign we want to launch for corporates, that encourages them to do something in the name of the men in their organizations that have already been diagnosed with this. So that's why we've structured it this way to allow us to reach people. And finally, we've worked out that the 250 people that are going to be at the breakfast, if everybody just pledged to have a conversation with one man or five men, by the end of the year, we'll have reached 30,000 men. And if half of those get tested, it's already more than the number of people that are lying in hospitals with stage three to five cancer. This is doable.
Absolutely. Already, I mean, through this show, that's a little contribution. But I just want to pass maybe before we take that short break, I want to bring in Nobisa on the women's side, because part of the conversation on the 29th, there's a very strong arm of women, because it also affects women too. Because if a man is out of the loop in whatever form or shape, women have to stand up. So it's also important for this part of kind of conversation to be preemptive, hence women. After the break, we'll just quickly talk about that, and then we will wrap up. And I'm loving this initiative, because I tell you what, you have to come back again post the 29th so that we get to hear how it was launched. I'm quite passionate about caddies, because I used to be a caddy. You know, and I understand exactly what you mean. The fact that you've been unable to explain what prostate cancer is, you know, to a caddy. So it also affects me, because I've got my brothers whom have left the Reading Country Club, Jamestown Country Club, which is now defunct, and Huddle Park, and so on and so forth. So we have to take this message to them after the break.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. It's amazing how time flies. We've got literally about 9 minutes to wrapping up a fascinating, fascinating conversation. If you've just joined me, I'm joined in studio by Jonathan Mutige, who's a prominent South African and a seasoned executive whose work spans leadership, investment, and social capital building. He's joined by his better half, who's the CEO of the Factor of 10. Her name is Nobisa Mutige. As I've already indicated, who's the CEO. Before we took that break, Jonathan as well as Nobisa giving us host of what is forthcoming on the 29th of May at the Killarney Golf Club. We are told there's about 250, officials, across different, spectrum, medical, social, medical aid scheme, and so on and so forth. So this is quite a big thing that is coming. But before we get into those, because I was just sort of giving the listener who just joined in a good sense of what were we talking about, but before, I had promised that you'll come in very quickly and give us a sense on why women.
Women are very much a part of this, because it's an issue that affects everybody. Most likely you have a male relative in your family, or you may have a male friend. So it becomes everybody's situation and everybody issue to deal with. So, and also vice versa, as women issues are also men issues as well. We spoke, Jonathan did mention earlier about closing the loop. In this whole thing, and that's why women can play such a key role in this. Where you can have your, maybe you're somebody's aunt, you're somebody's mom, you're somebody's daughter. You actually just ask a question. Hey, daddy, have you gone for a test? Mm. Yes, have you been tested? I've had, factor of 10. Do you know factor of 10? Mm-hmm. They are talking about this. Because again, this is an area where there's really been a lot of silence about. So as Factor of 10, we are trying to bring it to the fore and saying, let's come along, come along with us. Let's try and amplify the voice about this. Mm-hmm. Let's amplify the help. Let's amplify the impact. So women play a very, very significant role in terms of that. In fact, since we started this, there's a lot of women who are part of this movement, starting from when we set up the foundation. Women have been at the forefront of it. So at the launch, it's going to be very, very apparent, what I'm talking about.
I can't wait.
So those will be there. They will be surprised as to, how much support women are giving to this, you know, and how it has resonated with a lot of people, because somehow, you know, we are all affected. Somebody would say, wow, you know, my uncle, my dad, my, and then now we think about the younger ones, you know, I've got a brother, I've got a son. This does need to be something that is spoken about. So we are very grateful for that, and we just really appreciate women's involvement in this, and we're hoping that it can be even more, and let women use their voice, which is a very strong voice, in helping men fight this and go along here with it.
As we are keeping, let's go back to the 25th.
The 29th of May.
Let's go back to the 29th of May. What to expect, because I think it's important from a corporate point of view. This show is listened by, a number of corporate executives who themselves know somebody who has gone through this, or they are aware themselves are going through it. So it is important. We can galvanize as much support as possible. Take us through what to expect and how can people subscribe. What are your social handles? The entire shebang, can you just maybe give it to us?
Yeah. So at the moment, we're doing a lot of stuff on social media. So we are on LinkedIn. It is Factor of 10, as in T-E-N. On Instagram, it is Factor of 10, but 10 as in the number.
Numerical, yeah.
Yeah, numerical. And so those are the two that we are using interchangeably. And so on the 29th, we are launching the foundation for the first time. And the message we're going with, which will be amplified in the coming weeks after the launch, it's about this does not have to break the bank, in inverted commas. Just give a little, targeted at, helping one man or two, to get, checked for this. If more of us do that, it's going to be, it will make a big difference to our nation. And so the appeal that we're launching on that day is to give corporate a different way of thinking about this and a platform where it's just a tenth that we're asking you to do, and you could do less. And we think that can be turned into a multiplier effect. And then we will obviously want to launch this, two programs that are targeting a platform that corporates can use, and, a special program that we want to have targeted at the cadres. So, and we want to talk to golf clubs. So if those, people who are captains of golf schools, golf clubs, those are the sort of people we want to take that initiative to and say, you can all make a difference.
Absolutely.
And it does not have to cost too much.
Yes.
Well, this is definitely a beautiful initiative. I just got an SMS from Renee. It says, hi, I'm back. And I 4:30 song. Well, I'm not going to skip that. And I said, I think Renee, she said, I'm not sure on the topic, but if South African can diagnose with cancer or any other form, are there proper treatments in national hospital, and how do they afford? This is Renee from Israel. I think Renee Israel is the surname. There's definitely support that is available in hospitals, but our hospitals are flooded.
They are,
and the treatment it's not necessarily accessible to most sort of people. So I think it's an issue of access and equity.
Correct.
Because if you have a private medical aid, it's easy to access such intervention, not easier, not quicker. But if you're not, it's a different ballgame. Perhaps maybe that's an issue that Renee needed to get clarity on.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to have to leave it here. We are literally having to wrap up. It has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
As we close this conversation with Jonathan Mutige and Nabisa Mutige, we wish them a very good success in the launch of Factor of 10 Foundation. May it become a powerful platform for education, early detection, support for men across our country. And most importantly, may it help shift the culture towards openness, early action, and better health outcomes for men and their families.
Thank you.
Has been absolutely beautiful.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
No, thank you so much. There we go.
We're
going to have to leave it in. It's been absolutely beautiful. We'll catch up again. Shalom.